Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Coupons and all this stuff. It's like, what am I going to do with all this? Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Can I just have proof that I bought my stuff so I don't get tackled by security on the way out of here? Thank you.
I bought three cases of soda. You didn't have to list each can individually on the receipt.
Yeah, although we do appreciate that. How's your mic over there, Ray? Everything good?
Now it's pointed the right way.
Okay.
Somebody spun it around a few times out of boredom, I guess, so it was never pointed.
Blame Guru.
Okay, fair enough.
I'll name names.
We've got some
Guru's mic.
Yeah, we got some mic jostlers in here. You know, guys that really give it the old yeah. workout while they're here. We will keep you entertained and informed for the next 4 hours. This is 95.7
The Game. A lot of pressure.
Yeah, I know. Like, let's not oversell it. Ray Ratto's here. Matt Kolsky's here. And, of course, I'm Ryan Covey. News broke yesterday, guys, about some of the changes proposed in the NFL. 7 playoff teams now instead of 6 potentially if the CBA gets ratified in a 17-game schedule. Ray, other than making money for the owners, what's the benefit of a 17-game schedule? And, you know, I guess another week to gamble and another week for fantasy football. Outside of that, I'm reaching here.
None. If you're going to have a schedule, you have an even number of games because you want as close to a balanced schedule as you can, and if you have more home games than away games or more away games than home games, it's not balanced. I mean, the idea of a schedule is essentially to start the season as, quote, close to equal for everybody as possible. Right. And if you have a team that, frankly, has to play more games on the road, I mean, ostensibly that puts them at least a minimal disadvantage.
Enough that you think it would affect how teams plan strategically?
No, it would allow them to bitch if things don't go right.
Right. You
don't want them to be able to bitch when you announce the schedule.
That's totally right. And I think this in general is a big what's the best way to put it? This would mark a large bitching increase.
It's the foot in the door for an 18th game is all it is. When you cut right to the chase. They don't want 17. They want 18.
Right.
They've been talking about 18 forever. And since they can't get 18 at one fell swoop, they'll do it by erosion.
And then they'll just count on the league pushing back and saying, well, this is totally inadequate because it's unfair and it's not symmetrical, whatever. It creates an unfair advantage for the team with an extra home game. So thus, well, I got the solution right here. 9-9.
Let's add another one.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, nobody ever cuts the schedule back unless there's a strike year.
Yeah,
that's never happened.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, they are in the business of making money. How about this? And somebody just texted this in, and I actually thought about this. There's 707 said, there's still a way to give a bye to this second and first seed. The solution would be an extra week of playoffs, a pre-playoff round with the two bottom seeds, winner advances in the current playoff model, kind of like a play-in game like we see in the NCAA tournament.
So everyone gets a bye except the bottom two?
Yeah, but then you might have more.
And then some teams get 2 weeks off?
Yeah, you're right.
I don't like it.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah,
sorry.
It doesn't work.
That's the WCC tournament schedule, and everybody seems to hate that except Gonzaga.
We see, too, when teams have too much time off, it gets a little ridiculous. I mean, how about college football when, like, you know, they play their final game in, what, like, first week of December, you know, and then we don't see them again till January? I mean, the teams have, like, weeks off. Or even like before Thanksgiving?
There's two sort of, I don't know how breaking these pieces of news are, but two sort of additions to this story that I've just seen in the last 5 minutes. One comes from Tom Pelissero, who says, how would players be compensated for a 17th game if they signed contracts based on a 16-game schedule? Basically, under the proposed CBA, they'd get one extra game check, but it would be capped at $250,000, so the highest paid players would play for less than usual.
Wow.
Which is incredibly NFL, and this is maybe even more interesting. Via Mark Mask of the Washington Post.
Maskey.
According to a source, the NFL and owners, quote, probably will move forward with their plans to implement the expanded 14-team playoff in the 2020 season, even if the players do not ratify the proposed CBA. The owners, in their view, don't need the players' approval for that.
So, in other words, as I've known all along, because this is the same dance they always do, is the NFL is trying to ram things in before there's a vote. They basically are trying to tell the union, we're going to do what we want. And the reason why they've sort of, you know, introduced the notion of the 17th game and then this new sort of jerry-rigged playoff system is because it's harder to get players to be incensed if you only do it a little at a time. But if they had gone in and done what they really want to do, which is go full 18 games and then maybe have a full, you know, 16-team playoff bracket, you know, the players would get some pushback. They're basically trying to erode their will little by little. It's your standard slimy way of doing things. And, well, it's just a little extra slime.
Yeah, and the NFL Players Association, by and large, is one of the weakest player associations around. And, you know, it's at some point, like, you know, the players, I feel like if they're ever going to get the things they truly covet, which I feel, you know, guaranteed contracts like you get in Major League Baseball and the NBA, better long-term health care coverage, you know, more protection for the players, et cetera. I mean, at some point, the only thing that you have is, as a collective, to decide not to play football. And obviously, as Ray put yesterday, and he's spot on, so a lot of these guys have a short shelf life. So, you know, to even miss a couple of months or, God forbid, a season for a guy who's only projected to play in the NFL for a couple of years, that's a massive percentage of his potential earning that he will, you know, accrue during his playing career. So a lot of guys aren't willing to risk that.
And the last time there was a walkout, a lot of the big name players crossed the line, including Joe Montana, because we're doing fine. I have some guaranteed money. You know, I'm not that. There's never been a sense that all 1,700 players are united by the same things. And that's where the NFL's, the owner's decision to do this new stuff incrementally. They're forcing DeMora Smith, the head of the union, to say, go ahead, galvanize your players on this. We dare you.
Here's my question about the union. Is there a better solution?
Than what?
Than the NFL Players Association. Because it doesn't seem to have any ability to negotiate positively for the bulk of its membership. It doesn't even we're sitting here talking about how basically everyone knows they're not willing to strike. And well, like the very essence of a union is sort of undermined if everyone knows you're not willing to take steps as a united front.
Well, that's a two-pronged problem.
Yep.
One, you've never had a Marvin Miller.
Yep.
And you've never had a united workforce.
So that's why I'm asking, is there a better...
There's not a better solution than a union. What you have to do is find a head of the union that can get all 1,700 people to see things the same way.
It's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people, and that's, you know, and a lot of them don't have guaranteed money.
Right.
I mean, so there'd have to be a willingness among a massive amount of the 1,700 to put up with some pain. And, you know, if you've spent your whole life wanting to play football, and then you're going to, you know, well, instead of getting your first contract, you're going to be on a picket line. That's a hard one for a lot of people to swallow. So, no, it would be very difficult. But there is no alternative to a union.
Yeah.
Because the alternative to a union is basically no union, which means no, you know, you still have the same problem, which is there's no solid air.
There's not even a table to sit at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and under the just to kind of bring everybody up to speed, under the current proposal that NFL owners are pushing for and have reportedly voted on and voted to accept the negotiated terms on this new proposed CBA, now it's in the players' court. 17 games per season, an extra playoff team, which would make three wild card games Saturday, three wild card games Sunday. One team, the top seed, would be the only team that would get a bye in each league, and also the preseason would be shortened to three games. I have had a couple of texts about this, and it's right. The NFL, I mean, just kind of looking big picture, the NFL has a hard time keeping their players healthy for 16 games. So adding a 17th, you know, the amount of attrition that goes on during an NFL season, the number of guys that go to injured reserve, and I imagine, you know, the number of guys that ultimately require medical care just will just grow exponentially. And as the season goes on, this kind of stuff doesn't get better. It only gets worse.
Quality is not important. Quantity is important, and paying for the medical care of the extra injured is still less than the money you take in with an 18th week of football.
It's true. It's just...
It's not about football. Don't think about this as football. That's the key.
All right, 888-957-9570. With the transformational schedule and playoff changes potentially on the horizon in NFL, we got to thinking, how would you like to perfectly build your schedule for your favorite league, whether it's Major League Baseball or the NBA? We kicked this around before the show a little bit. We came up with some ideas, and we want to hear your ideas. You've got the ball in your court. You can build the schedule for the NBA, the NFL, the NHL. What changes would you make to your league? We'll talk about that on the other side. Also, Howard Beck's going to join us, Tim Bontemps, and Andrew Brandt. We'll talk a little bit about the new CBA proposals as well at 5 o'clock. We got a lot to get to. Ryan Covey sitting in for Damon Bruce. We got Ray Ratto. We got Matt Kolsky. You are listening to 95.7 The Game.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7, The Game.
Yeah, welcome back to the segment sponsored by 24-Hour Fitness. What makes a workout worth it? Feeling the results at 24-Hour Fitness will help you find your path forward. Start with a free pass to 24-Hour Fitness and get results your way. All right, Matt Kolsky, we'll start with you. I know you've got a lot of great ideas that you love to share with the world. No, you do. And some of them are actually really interesting. some of them. You're going to make some changes to the NBA. You've got immunity. You can make any changes you want. You've got full authority. What's your first act? What are you doing? How are you changing basketball?
I think it's... I'm actually making two changes, and one is one I stole from a source that I can't remember that I already mentioned yesterday. But the first thing I do, I think, is I cut the season by at least 16 games.
Okay.
Like 66 or fewer games is enough for me, regular season. And I space it out so it takes about the same amount of time.
So same start 82. Time, same finish, but just
no,
more time off? Oh, okay.
Because I'm also starting it on Christmas.
Okay.
Christmas is the first day of NBA basketball. Not the first day people start watching, but the first day of the league. And we play through July into early August because, and I know there's other parts of this in terms of TV money over the summer, and
sure,
that's above my pay grade for the moment anyway. So this may be wholly impossible. I think most of the changes we're going to talk about are not going to happen, but the winter's crowded. And most specifically, the winter has the National Football League, which is always going to win. At least for the foreseeable future. The NBA will be trailing behind NFL ratings-wise. And that's not, you know, it's no surprise. There's not really any shame in it. That's the NFL is the one remaining giant cash cow nonstop ratings thing that we have. So avoid it. Skip that.
Right.
We'll start in December. Sure, the first month and a half of the season will be played during the NFL playoffs. But that, to me, is better than the middle third of the season being played during the NFL playoffs. So less games, different schedule, and finals right before the baseball playoff run and football starts again.
Makes sense.
I like it.
Was that your first change, or did I have two changes in there?
Well, the shorter season. And
okay.
The,
oh, I got you. That is the other change. Okay.
Yep.
Ray, what change would you like to see implemented? By the way, 888-957-9570, Chilton Autobody text line, 95795. You've got immunity. You can make a change to your sport of choice. Where are you going? Schedule-wise, playoff formatting, divisional structure. What do you got, Ray Ratto?
First of all, I'd reduce the schedule to 68 games. You still have a balanced schedule that way.
Okay.
Sure, okay.
Because I think a balanced schedule is important.
What? How? Can you explain that a little more?
Well, they'd play the same number of games against each other team in their division.
Okay.
Same number of games against the other 10 teams in their conference, and the same number of games against 15 teams in the other conference. So you still get to see every team, if you're a fan, at least once.
Got it. So you're taking away some of the bonus in-division games, basically.
Right, yeah. Largely the ones, like, when you get to see that extra Utah game.
Right, you play them three times this year. Right, okay. Yeah.
The other thing I would do, and this is particularly hateful, but I like it, is you determine how many playoff spots you have by the number of wins you get. So if you have, in this scenario, with 68 games, I'm thinking you at least need to play 550 basketball, which is 37 wins. If you don't have 37 wins, no matter where you fit in the conference, you don't get in. That way, you eliminate tanking, unless it's like an extreme team that's terrible anyway. And you basically make teams on the bubble play as hard as possible for as long as possible.
I like that. And you never get a sub 500 team in the playoffs.
Exactly.
So if there's a year where you only had six playoff teams in a conference, two teams just get a bye?
Yeah, and you just have different formats for different number of teams that get in. The problem with this, of course, is that the TV networks would scream bloody murder.
Right, because it's less inventory in the playoffs.
There have been years in which only nine teams made the standard. They'd be unhappy with that.
Yeah,
let's
be real.
Yeah.
All the
as
changes,
opposed to 16.
Let's be real. All the changes that we're proposing to implement today, the TV networks would not be feeling.
That's probably right.
But none of those have happened in the last decade.
So the last decade,
decade is closer to 12 or 13.
Okay.
But there are no first-round games in which you're going, ugh.
Yeah, it basically removes the teams that make you want to puke from the playoffs. And I've never heard someone propose that before.
It's interesting, no doubt.
Because it's stupid, probably. Well, it's undoable on any number of levels.
I think it's undoable, but it's actually probably smart.
I think one change that I would like to see made, and I know we want regional rivalries and we want a distinction between either AFC, NFC, Eastern Conference, Western Conference. I would just rather, okay, fair enough. That's the criteria used to determine, you know, like the matchups and the scheduling. But as far as playoff seeding goes, just give me the top 16 because ultimately they're all playing for the same prize anyway, right? Whatever league you're in, you're playing. There's one trophy at the end of the year. I don't necessarily need it to be the best from the East versus the best of the West. Think about how many years in the NFC, like the NFC title game, basically if you won that game, you won the Super Bowl. I think the NFC won 15 straight Super Bowls from 83 to 97. I would just be a big proponent of that. And then that way, when you have the seventh and eighth teams that are, you know, eight games under 500, but you've got teams in the other conference that are deserving of it, you don't have that problem. And it'd be a more fair and equitable way to go about playoffs, for my money.
Except, and this is why I always think that keeping the conferences are a better idea, when you get a situation where, we'll say hypothetically, this is 2017, and the Warriors are having to fly back and forth to Atlanta twice for a first-round series that you don't want, you're basically putting a burden on the team with the best record by having to fly all the way across the country, which you don't have to do. I mean, it's hard enough to do this in the Western Conference because the first year they had Houston, Memphis, and New Orleans,
right.
Not in that order.
Yeah, it was New Orleans, Houston, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, the point is that was a lot of air flight for a team that won 67 games. And they still ended up winning. So, I mean, I don't know how much of a burden this would be, but it seems wrong to penalize teams on the coast and reward teams in the middle of the country for no reason other than that's where their cities happen to be.
There's always going to be an imbalance in that respect, though. I mean, just because so many teams in the East, so many cities in the East are so close together. I mean, the West Coast teams are always going to have to travel more anyway. And maybe it's just me. I don't know. These guys are rolling on, like, private jets, and I know that there's the body clocks when you go from one time zone to the next. I feel like we make too much out of the quote travel of the NBA. They're not going through security and waiting 4 hours at the gate. And I just feel like so much gets made of that.
Yeah, but you know what? They're not civilians, and you're paying for them to be at their best. Period. To equate an athlete with somebody who just is on a commuter flight is ridiculous to me, because we clearly value our entertainment more than we value actual useful jobs that help the economy go.
Sure.
And so, to me, what you're saying is, teams on the East and West Coast, well, you just have to eat it because the flight's nice. Well, but that's not the point. The point is, you shouldn't have to make it artificially bad for a team like Miami or a team like Boston or either LA team or Phoenix or, if they ever get their act together again, Seattle.
I mean they're going to have at least 2 days off in between those games.
I don't care. It's a burden that teams on the coast have, the teams in the middle of the country don't.
On the other hand, teams in the middle of the country have to fly to both coasts more often. I mean,
they're shorter flights.
Yeah.
A six-hour flight is way worse than a two-hour flight.
True. It is, but
also, the other thing, I'm going to finish my point, and then I'll shut up for hours on end if you'd like.
Nah, that wouldn't be good.
There is no compelling excitement to the one playing the 16. And if it's Golden State Atlanta, there is no link between these two teams that matters to anybody unless you remember when the Hawks played in St. Louis and the two teams hated each other.
But odds are the one's playing the 16 anyway.
Not in the West.
There's a 50% chance that the one is playing the 16 anyway.
Historically, if you win the West and you go 1-16, you're playing a team in the East. And that's been true for two decades now.
But the two decades before that, it would have been the other way around. And ultimately...
Except that it wasn't the other way around. It was more even.
Okay. But
I'm saying that with more and more players wanting to go West, and that's been a trend for a while now, and I see that not changing. Because if you have a choice between Charlotte and L.A., you're going to L.A. every time.
Unless you're Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, right?
Those are the exceptions that still prove the rule. I mean, the fact is the Western Conference has been an unusually dominant conference since the moment that Michael Jordan retired.
You're right.
And I don't see that changing, which means that the teams in the Western Conference will always end. The team with the best record will always play the worst team of the 16.
Well, what about this? In Major League Baseball, they had their proposal last week of the top seven teams getting in, and you know the wild card weekend. You can select the team that you want to play in the playoffs. What if you seeded them 1-16 based on the 16 best records, but number one could pick who they played in the first round? What about that? Does that move you at all?
Isn't it the same issue?
No, not really.
No, because then you can hand pick. Like, if travel is your most important concern.
But wouldn't they pick the 16th team more often than not?
They might.
Well, then that's on them.
They might pick. Well, yeah, they might pick the worst team in the West just because they don't want to fly to.
That's my point. If the travel is burden.
You could do that. That would alleviate that. But you've spent so much energy over the decades making the conferences matter. And I think what you're going to end up with is a bunch of first-round series with relative strangers. Well, I think you're trying to make every round of the playoffs interesting.
Well, that's what the NHL did, Ray, as you know. They obviously implemented the wild card a couple years ago, but they have the playoffs like within the divisions basically. So like, you know, you get Sharks, Golden Knights more years, you know, the way they have it set up. And then what is it like the top team plays the bottom team and then the two teams in the middle play each other?
What it is that the second place team in each division plays the third place team. The
top
winner of the division
gets
one of the wild card teams.
Right. Yeah.
It's a very convoluted system that largely everybody hates.
Yeah, I hate it too. I mean, if I was the commissioner of the NHL, that I would change that straight away.
But they're trying to force rivalries.
Yeah, create all these regional matchups.
That
yeah.
typically don't work unless the two teams can build their own separate animosities. I mean, Calgary and Edmonton will always be a bloodbath. Vegas, and the Sharks will be that for the foreseeable future. But Dallas, Minnesota? No. You know, I mean, right. St. Louis, Vancouver? No. You know, it's, you know, they're...
That strikes me as the sort of playoff format you only have when you kind of don't, like, everyone has almost as good a chance to win as everyone else, and you're just trying to generate interest where it doesn't already exist.
No, it's not a good system.
Yeah, and I don't know that I care as much about the 1 through 16 part of it. I'm kind of still fascinated by Rays win a certain, you know, target wins to get into the playoffs. Because while it's certainly nothing that the leagues or their TV partners would be particularly interested in.
No doubt.
God, it's a really elegant way to solve some of the biggest issues with the quality of the sport in a few sports.
And it makes more regular season games matter more.
Definitely.
Which is the one thing that they could steal from college football, whose own postseason is preposterous. But they do, the way they narrow it down, every game on the 12-game schedule matters if you have playoff aspirations.
Until you lose, at which point none of the games matter.
Well, no, I mean, typically you can get away with one loss. The question is, can you get away with two?
Right, but there's 150 teams.
And when you've only got
teams.
Four spots, it doesn't matter. Well, but college football, and we're getting off the track here.
No, this is all part of the discussion, though. We're good.
Is only about 10 teams.
Okay. Well, in that case, more games
else,
matter.
Everybody else is there as stuffing.
All right.
I mean, you know, nobody ever expects a team from the Mid-American to be a playoff team. I mean, just, you know, for one, the Pac-12 can't get a team in there. And part of the reason is the people in that room go, you don't bring anything to the party. Nobody wants to watch your stuff.
Nobody wants you around.
Yeah, I mean, they are that weird Power Five conference without any power.
How long till we've got eight teams in college football in the playoff?
When you can show the athletic directors that first round of the playoffs will be as much of a cash cow as the 4-team playoff is now. The question about the 8-team playoff is that you've sort of got people thinking about four teams. They get excited about them. Now, the argument about who's 8 and who's 9 is a lot less interesting to a lot of people in college football, particularly in the places where college football matters the most.
Right, and I think if the argument is you're the 8th or 9th best college football team, if that's your case, like, well, then you probably don't deserve to be in that much anyway.
Yeah, but that's why I like it.
Well, but I think I have the solution, just quickly. I think 6 teams get in. You got the 5 power conferences, 1 at large, so you've got that zany, you know, random conference that's got a team that's actually got a nice resume, an undefeated season, something like that, and you think, okay, well, come on in with the big boys and come get smoked. You've earned the right to be here, Florida Atlantic, so come on through. So you do it like that, and then, of course, the top 2 seeds get that first round bye. So
you're only going to allow 1 team from each Power 5 conference?
Sure, but then you have one more, yeah, like, at large. So if there's, you know, if there's an extra team from the SEC where it's
Which
so
there
obvious.
Which always will be.
Well, sure.
You're just putting more teams from the same conference.
You're never going to end up with a Florida Atlantic
Central,
in that scenario,
Central Florida
I don't think.
Is never getting in. That's it. That's the message.
And
don't ever think that's going to happen.
We're also going to have people upset every year that they have to take a Pac-12 team when they should have taken a second Big Ten or a second SEC or whatever it is.
All right, so then just go top 6 in the country. There
and
you go.
Give the first top 2 a bye.
First top 2 get a bye.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. To be fair, none of this would make me watch it much, so
really?
I probably...
Well, use it as an
I prefer professionals.
Exercise.
Yeah.
Matt Kolsky, National.
I like everyone on the field to be good at the sport. So
college sports is
that's
irrelevant.
Just me. No, not irrelevant. Just not worth watching. There's a difference. People like it. And God bless. You're free to like whatever you want. Yeah. Welcome to America.
Amen.
I like to watch people who are really good at what they do. All of them.
If
really
you lived
good.
Back in the Midwest, you would have been beaten to death long before this. For
yeah, I mean, I grew up there and I left.
No, you left. You were in Chicago, which
is not the Midwest. That's
it's
fair.
Not a.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's not a football power.
650 no. says you can't give 2 teams a bye-in college football playoff. Sure.
Why not?
Yeah,
why
not?
They all sit around for 2 months waiting for the playoff to start.
And that's the other thing. Like, it's not like you don't have the time, and it's not like you don't have the surplus of bowl games available to you.
Yes.
Let's make the, you know, Outback Bowl matter, whatever the hell, the Chili's, you know, queso dip bowl,
that's
whatever
right.
the hell they're calling. Let's make that matter. and then you could have it rotating because, yeah, let's face it, the 6-3 matchup, probably not going to be very, you know, clearly not as compelling as when the big boys get going, the one or the two, but that's all right. That's still a bowl game I'm going to watch because I know potentially I could be watching a team that's going to be playing in the national championship.
Definitely would garner more interest than whoever's playing in the Belk Bowl normally.
For
you
sure,
know?
Because it matters not. And the other thing, too, is once you get past, like, the 6th-best team in the country, like...
No one's arguing that vociferously.
Totally.
If they did, except alumni.
Right. Be at least top 5, and you got a case to be made. I think that's a reasonable way to handle it. And then we get, two extra games, too? I'm in on that.
You get those games anyway.
Right, that matters.
Well, just the two more people will pay attention to.
Sure.
Right. 707 texters, the general idea here was how would you change your schedule of your favorite sport given the NFL's likely schedule changes? And 707 texters said the NBA should make a first round best of 5 again, more upsets and exciting. And that texter is correct, and that's why I wouldn't do it. Because to me, and I think I'm learning, I actually think I may be different than a lot of sports fans on this. I'm not actually that interested in first-round upsets in the NBA. Like, an 8 beats a 1, and that's exciting for a second.
Until the 8 has to continue in the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, Ray and I have had this conversation about Cinderella teams in the tournament, in the NCAA tournament. You love a Cinderella upset in the first round, but more often than not, if a Cinderella makes it to the Final Four or even the Elite Eight, it's just a blowout. It's just not, it's less good basketball. So, for me,
this year, by your logic, though, every game would be lousy.
Yeah.
This is a terrible year.
That's a separate issue. But NBA-wise, I don't want to create a playoffs where it's more likely that the lesser team will win. I want to watch the best teams prove they're the best over the course of a 7-game series. That's why I think the NBA playoffs are the best, is because I feel like the champion is almost always the best team.
Yeah, and any team, shorter the series, the more likely the better team is to be vulnerable anyway.
Exactly.
But historically, when they did best of 5,
yeah,
upsets were incredibly rare.
Was like,
but they're more common than seven.
No, but I mean, it's by very little. I mean, there are almost no 8s that get out of the first round.
No, but
and
I think
not very many 7s either, which is what you're really talking about.
Yeah, but I do think those teams won more in the best of 5 than they do in the best of 7.
Only by a very small margin. I've looked this up in the past.
Denver beat the Sonics, right?
Yes.
I thought the Nuggets beat the.
It was the Nuggets who won. It was Mutombo's.
Yeah, when he's
8.
Holding the ball. Yeah, and he's all excited. Yeah.
But
the truth is, eventually what we found out is that the 1 seed wasn't the best team because it still sorts itself out.
It was Seattle. You were right.
Yeah.
Boom. I'll be here all week.
Great job.
I'll be back on the Butch Show next week.
Yeah, that's the Peyton.
The argument.
Kemp.
Yeah. The argument in the NBA is weakest because the best teams usually have very dynamic players in a sport that only has 5 guys on the field. The more players you have on a field, the more variables you put into that sport. For instance, you often have situations where the team with the best record in the NFL does not win the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Whereas in the NBA, it's almost exclusively 1 and 2 seeds that end up winning a championship.
Yeah, well, there's a couple things to that that goes beyond what you just said about 5 people being on the court. I think a huge part of it is the difference in the layout. It's 7-game series versus a 1-game playoff in the NFL. And additionally, I think the NBA with an 82-game season does a better job of shaking out who's the best over the course of the season than the NFL does. So the reason lower seeds can win more in the NFL is because a lot of times I think those lower seeds are just as good as the higher seeds but had a tougher schedule or something like that. It's a less balanced schedule overall. So, yeah, part of it's the nature of basketball. It's one of the harder upset games. But nevertheless, in a 1 or 3 or even 5-game series, it's much easier to upset a team than if you have to take 4 out of 7.
And by the way, it's funny. I was just looking this up, an 8 beating a 1 in a 5-game series. And Our guest at 4:30 is going to be Tim Bontemps. He wrote about this a couple of years ago, and I just pulled it up. Yeah, so in a five-game series, it's happened twice in the NBA. We mentioned the Nuggets upsetting the Supersonics. That was in 1994. Also in 1999, the Knicks beat the Miami Heat.
That was a weird one, too, because
Allen Houston shot.
Yeah, but the Knicks probably shouldn't have been an eight, and it was a shortened season, so the standings were a little goofy. But yeah, that's, you know. Things have to get goofy for an eight to beat a one.
Right.
And of course, lots of people weighing in, but We Believe is one of the greatest moments of my sporting life. And I'm not trying to take that away from you. It is a great moment. What I'm saying is,
they got knocked out in the second round.
Right. And they won one game.
A, they got knocked out easily in the second round. But what I'm really saying is, yes, for your one fan base, the eight beating the one was the better result. For all the other fan bases, not.
Well, and the other thing about that We Believe team, and nobody seems to remember this, it's the fact that they beat Dallas after Dallas had manipulated the last two games of the year so that they could play the Warriors.
Exactly.
Because Mark Cuban had a thing for Don Nelson.
had a thing. Mark Cuban was very angry at Don Nelson over the way Don Nelson left Dallas, right? I mean, that's what it is.
They fought over money. I know that's hard to believe.
But. Yeah.
And the other thing is, and I remember this because I talked to one of the assistants of the Sacramento Kings at the time, is they said that we didn't know what Dallas was doing because he wasn't a coach of the Kings. He was a coach of the Clippers, I believe. And he said, we only had eight healthy players. He said, they were asking for it.
Right.
You know, and so part of the We Believe thing is that. And the other part is the Warriors had been awful for forever before that. So any team would have seemed really cuddly and fun.
Exactly.
Given those circumstances. And the next year when they won 48 games and didn't get in, people don't talk about that team.
No. And so, it was basically the same team. And that was the end of that team.
Record.
Yes. And by the way, part of it was also the characters on the Warriors.
Like, yeah.
It was a fun group. So that's a one in a million scenario. And by the way, that was in a seven-game series, so that would still be on the table. Like, that's still available. The only point I was making is, generally speaking, shorter series means higher variability, and that's not something I'm looking for in a playoff system, personally.
888-957-9570 is the number. What changes would you make to your sport of choice? Playoff seeding, regular season, shortening up the regular season. What about Major League Baseball and some of the changes that they've got on the table to make their game more exciting? We're going to talk to Howard Beck at the top of the hour, senior NBA writer for the Bleacher Report, host of the Full 48 podcast. As I mentioned, Tim Bontemps from ESPN is going to join us. He had a really cool piece on ESPN.com about nine things to watch in the second half that could shake up the NBA landscape. We'll get into that. Some pretty cool topics there. And then 5 o'clock, Andrew Brandt's going to join us, former VP of the Packers and columnist for the Monday Morning Quarterback. Take a look at some of the business side of the NFL and some of the proposed rule changes in this CBA bargaining that is going on currently. All right, on the other side, more of your calls, more with Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Ryan Covey sitting in for Damon Bruce. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, sponsored by Free.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, Nash Solomon, entirely too proud of himself with the custom Nash-up on the rejoiner.
Hard.
Very hard. Everything's hard.
Don't say Nash-up.
In Nash's world. Don't be nashty.
There's no such thing
as a
Nash-up.
Don't be nashty about it.
It's not a thing. We're not doing that here.
That's cold hard Nash, baby. As Tim Roy would say.
Nash is dropping dimes now.
That's hard, dog.
Ray just Stone Cold Nash Solomon.
And Ray Ratto just left the room. We are back.
Never been a generation that fetishizes its own lack of experience more.
No, that's correct.
That is the most annoying sound that I've ever heard in my life. Please don't ever play that again.
Say that again, Ray. About the generation.
Oh, no. There's never been a generation, and I'm just going to paraphrase because I can't remember the exact words, that has made a virtue of self-absorption quite like this one.
Yes!
That's correct.
And it's because they all have their own little entertainment centers in their hands, so they never have to talk to anybody else.
Hold on, I have a better one.
Great group of guys.
Sorry. 100.
There you go.
510 texter, says, that song is dope. I'm a DJ. Is there somewhere to get that? I say, first, shame on you, DJ. You should know the song Miss Fat Booty by Mos Def. And yeah, you can get it on the internet with all your other songs. What'd you say, Nash?
Well,
you,
I hope they know I remixed that. That's
Nash,
the normal
that's,
song.
That's the Nash remix.
It's the Nash up, baby.
The way you do that is you play it for 1 second and then start it over, and that's it. That's how you do it. That's the remix.
Show them how the sausage is made.
Oh, my bad.
Come on, man.
I wouldn't glorify that by calling it sausage.
Yeah. Someone gave Ray an okay boomer on the text line.
You going to tell us how the guy saws him in half in the magic show next?
Yeah. Jesus. I'm fully in defense of every generation doing whatever it wants. All I know is that's what we have. Because two generations ago, my generation was the most self-involved ever. That's what happens.
In every generation.
Until you find out how hideous the world truly is.
Yeah.
Every day is a game.
No doubt. Nash, their soul will get crushed at some point.
Right.
Don't worry.
Nash is not yet disillusioned.
He's going to stay here long enough.
Oh, no, I know.
Give it time.
We'll absolutely crush his soul, and we'll do it happily.
Well, you'll do it happily.
No, we'll all do it happily because they need to know.
That's like right up your alley, though. You know what I mean?
I'm good at it. I've just been around longer.
Right. Steph Curry hits threes. Ray crushes dreams.
Yeah. Putting Nash in a fetal ball and making him cry every day he comes into work. If I can't get that done by Flag Day, I'll just quit.
Well, Nashing it up. Let's go to Dan and Tracy. Go ahead, Dan. What changes would you make to the NBA?
Well, I kind of like the...
The Nash up? It was dope. I know.
I like them being able to choose their opponent.
That's fun. I like that, too.
The highest seed, they get to choose, and every round that they win, the higher seed gets to choose again. And I think that also puts the responsibility on... They get to own it, whether they win or lose. Well, you chose them, so that's on you, sort of. And it kind of goes across other sports as well, even hockey and football. I'm not sure about college yet. But it might even solve the Cinderella issue that you guys were talking about, that, you know, if Dallas wanted to choose the We Believe team, that was on you. You chose them. You're bad. It would also stop them from tanking the last two games because they get to choose anyways. You don't have to tank the last two games because it's your choice.
Yeah, hey, no, it's a good call, Dan. There's a lot of ambient noise in the background. Sounds like you're being attacked by a robot.
I thought maybe he was like working a ratchet wrench.
I thought he had a dirt devil out.
Oh, yeah, a little dust busting.
I thought it was Steve Buscemi cramming that foot in the chipper shredder at the end of Fargo.
And as always, Ray Ratto for the win. All right. Interesting text came in from the 650. I want to talk about something that I think should change. 650, no overtime in regular season for all sports. A tie is a tie. This would force coaches to play for the win toward the end of a game and the season. The Edward is from that text was from the 650. Now, while like in the NFL, it's kind of hard to get to a tie. And actually, the way they've changed overtime makes it a little more conducive to ties because the other team could score if you kick a field goal.
And it's
10 minutes instead of 15. Yeah, I was getting there. The other part of it, in the NHL, this is what has driven me nuts about hockey and it's kind of disillusioned me as a fan, is the way that they've changed overtime. First, it was 4-on-4. Then it was 3-on-3. Then the stupid-ass shootout. I never had a problem with ties. The thing that I have a problem with is taking the ultimate team game, which is hockey, and deciding it, handing out points, which ultimately determine playoff seeding, coaches' fates, players' fates, contracts, etc., in an individual skills competition.
It's a soccer shootout.
It's
the
stupid.
Same. It's the same dumb thing. I'm of two minds on this because, on a level, I get that you gotta end the game at a certain point, and especially in the regular season, like you can't just. You just got to call it at some point. And if you're going to just call it, an individual skills competition is about as good a way to call it as anything, I think.
Or it's just a tie.
Right. Sure. I'm saying if you don't want ties or you want to distinguish between, you know, a winning tie and a losing tie, I guess. I don't know. Hockey's weird. But in general, I'm with you on ties. Obviously, we can't have them in the playoffs. In the regular season... Like, if two teams play to a draw for long enough, can't we just say they were equal that day?
Split the spoils.
the simple solution for hockey is to go to the 3-2-1 system. Regulation win gets you 3 points.
Yep.
Overtime win gets you 2. Overtime loss gets you 1. Regulation loss gets you none. Nothing.
So right now it's 3-3-1.
No, it's 2. It's 2-1-0.
Yeah, and
so
and
in
the
other
only,
words,
yeah, oh,
you're,
sorry.
You're guaranteed a point
if you
no matter what happens. At,
if, you know. Once
and then
you force
there's
overtime.
Third extra yeah. point that's
but
available.
But if you win in regulation,
winner.
If you manage that, you get an extra bonus.
And if you win, and now, right as of now in hockey, a regulation win and an overtime win are worth the same.
The yeah. only way that they're different is they count the number of overtime wins you have, and like that's
like a tiebreaker.
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah exactly. Yeah. A regulation win and a tiebreaker sounds counts for more than an overtime win, but that's it. And that's over. They, you know, they chronicle overtime losses as well. Like so. Anyway, it's archaic and silly.
The standings are.
It's like five different categories.
It's way too complicated. Yeah. I also wouldn't mind baseball ties in the regular season, if we wanted to say, look, 9 innings is a regular game, and in the regular season we're not playing more than 11, or we're not playing more than 12. I'd be totally fine with that. I don't see the problem with it. Like I like. Continuing to play the same game forever in the playoffs because we have to decide this and I don't want to decide it by some goofy gimmick. But for all sports, I'm with you. Regular season, give me ties. There's nothing wrong with that.
And I don't mind a little bit of overtime. Like, there still should be a chance. Yes. Major League Baseball, maybe you cap it after, 12 innings?
Yeah, exactly. And I want at least one sudden-death overtime in hockey.
For sure.
That's some of the most fun we can have.
You know, like, I don't know how they had it forever, which was 5 minutes?
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Good with that. Totally.
No, I don't mind a 16-inning game in the regular season.
I don't either, but...
Because, truthfully, there's built-in tension, and it can screw up your games for the next 3 days if you exhaust your bullpen. And since
isn't
baseball,
that why you shouldn't do it?
And since baseball is a marathon, you should be put in every possible situation, including ones where your bullpen's short every once in a while.
Right.
I don't mind an 18-inning game. I don't mind it.
Yeah, I don't really mind it either. I'm just saying I would have no problem if they capped it. Let me read a text. That is much more complicated of a change. But I think it's, like many of our ideas, totally impossible, but marginally interesting. Comes from Doug from Alviso,
What's
if
up,
that's
Doug?
Even a place. He says, if I could wave a magic wand, I would have the NFL play 2 more regular season games, but... I'd have teams play every 2 weeks. This would be advantageous to everyone because it would basically stretch out the NFL season to year-round. It would give players more time to recover between games, meaning the public would get a better product because not only would stars be healthier, but teams would have more time to prepare for their opponents. The NFL would make more money from ad revenue because no one would not watch their team every 2 weeks, and you got year-round football.
Yeah. When do the players actually get an offseason, though?
Yeah, they don't get an offseason. They just get more time between games in this scenario.
It's like the Premier League or, you know, European soccer where they start in August, and if you're in, like, the Champions League final, you
finish up in late July.
Yeah, like, I mean, and then, like, you got preseason friendlies. Like, Liverpool literally had, like, 5 weeks off, and then they were back. I love that team, and I wasn't ready for more Liverpool football at that point.
So you're saying that's how we burn out on NFL, is if they expand it year-round and play every 2 weeks.
If ever there was a way, like, this would absolutely be it. I mean, it would be, like, 2 weeks off. Like, I do enough tinkering with my fantasy football roster, like, on a, you know, weekly basis.
Yeah, it's true.
And
that's true.
I think a more fundamental problem with that is that you have built in the notion that Sunday belongs to the National Football League. And if all you're giving them now is half as many games and you're staggering it that way, I think people aren't going to – I mean, I think people go, wait a minute, my team doesn't play for another 13 days?
Right.
I mean, we hate byes now. Bye. Now if you build in 8 of them, or really 15 of them –
Sure.
You know, I don't know that – I think you damage something that is fundamental to the sport's popularity, which is every Sunday, your guy's going
to
be there.
September
to
January.
They had 2 byes, and because people objected so much, they went back to 1.
And for sure. And we're like, wait a minute, is football back this week? Oh, no, it's next week. Like, I can't live in that world.
No, I think he's saying teams would play every week, just no team would play 2 weeks in a row.
At some point, though, you would have to.
You would.
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, 510, text of the day nominee so far. The person that proposed this has never played football. The body needs to stay hard. Nash, did you text that in?
That was not me, but that does sound like me.
I have to tell you, I wish that person had called so we had a drop of them saying stay hard that we could then play.
That person's
forever
never played football. Howard Beck's going to
join hard,
us.
Stay hard, dog. Oh. here,
God, we love pandering.
3 o'clock hour, Howard Beck's going to join us. He's going to join us at 3. You want me to welcome everyone to our 3 o'clock hour. Here's Ray Ratto.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.